County Board to order, please. Please rise for invocation by Member McIntyre, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity to live and serve in this great county and for the blessings that you have bestowed upon each of us. We ask for your guidance so that we can make decisions that are just and fair for our constituents. Help us work to keep our communities free from crime and corruption. Let us not forget those who are less fortunate in need of our help. We pray for good health for our members and former members, and for the safety of all our county employees and members of our armed forces. Grant us the insight to govern in a way that shows respect for all of our residents in regards to race, religion, and individual rights. We respectfully submit our petitions in your name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please call the roll.
McIntyre?
Here.
Moss?
Here.
Knuckles?
Here.
O'Connor?
Here.
Owens?
Present.
Rakowskis?
Here.
Rankin?
Here.
Renner?
Here.
Segabiano?
Here.
Soldner?
Here.
Wendt?
Here.
Walrab?
Here.
Ahart?
Present.
Bostic?
Here.
Butler? Kaisley?
Here.
Cavallini?
Present.
Gordon?
Present.
Hasselton? Sorensen?
Here. 18 members present. We have a quorum. We have two requests from members of the public. First is Mr. Donald E. Meyer from the County Extension Director of McLean County. Mr. Meyer?
Thank you, Chairman Sorensen. It's our opportunity, we appreciate the opportunity with Extension to present a few minutes of information about our program. You have been a funder of our organization for a number of years, and we'll talk about that in the program. I'd like to call upon Bob Bishop to come up and assist me. We also have some council members who are distributing the literature for us, our annual report, and we promise it's a canned program, so it won't be me drudging on with a lot of slides. It's about a 10 or 11 minute program narrated by Tricia Braid Terry. So we hope we can get the technology to cooperate. Bob?
I'll just introduce myself first. My name is Bob Bishop. I'm an Extension Council member, also a retired school teacher, also a master gardener. Do you have your gardens in yet? No? Okay. We have some folks who passed out this information here. I'll let them introduce themselves, if they would. Right back here in the back, they're all Extension Council members. Okay, thank you.
It was suggested we meet typically with three delegates from the county board in August of each year to review our past budget and propose our future tax levy. And it was suggested the last couple of years that we take a few minutes of your time and share a little bit about the extension program so that the only time you're seeing us is not when we're looking for levy approval, but to share the program and what we do here for the citizens of McLean County. We have a shared, similar audience serving all corners of McLean County. And we appreciate Bob Knuckles, Diane Bostic, and Rick Dean were our three county board members the last few years, and we'll look forward to the group this August meeting with us again.
The University of Illinois Extension continues to meet local needs right here in McLean County. Extension is commonly referred to as the best-kept secret in McLean County. We think the secret is out. Extension means many things to a variety of audiences. Please allow us a few minutes to share a few of our secrets. We educate McLean County residents of all ages, from expectant mothers all the way through retirement. In addition to research-based answers to local needs, we have a long history of creating and nurturing community partnerships, bringing local groups to the same table to not duplicate resources and to solve local problems. Extension serves our county citizens with programs available to all income levels. Extension education may be in large rooms at the Interstate Center, or it can be a one-on-one response to one person's questions. For over 90 years, Extension has enlisted and trained volunteers to extend our programming with minimal staffing. Extension classes and workshops reach children and adults. Extension problem solving is done from the most remote rural farm to the urban subdivisions in Bloomington Normal. Most importantly, all over McLean County, Extension is helping citizens build communities. Today, much discussion centers on service learning. Extension has done that throughout its history. Built on university foundations, Extension continues to convey research-based education. Today, more than ever, we're helping to sort out research-proven truths from those urban legends in this information age. Extension develops young and even not-so-young leaders through its programming. And Extension continues to engage youth through a variety of opportunities. You may choose the long version of our mission statement or the short version, but regardless, Extension helps people solve problems and help themselves. Our programs sometimes are branded in other ways. McLean County residents may not realize that behind them all is the I mark of the University of Illinois Extension. From 4-H and its nearly 100-year history serving community clubs, school enrichment, and after-school audiences, with the Home and Community Education Association membership, to after-school kids at Unity Center in Normal, to the highly successful Compact Program Partnership, and our newest volunteer success, the Master Gardeners, all of these are here because of the involvement and funding structure of Extension. Many times we are asked, why are you called University of Illinois Extension? Or why is the University of Illinois here where we have so many other fine colleges and universities? Well, the answer goes all the way back to the days of President Lincoln and the land-grant university system put in place in the 1860s to help solve problems with research. Extension followed the land-grant development in 1914 to better connect the people who needed the research to the research base of the university. We began as a part of the Farm Bureau and Home Bureaus, but for over 50 years, we have been serving the public, not just those of those member organizations. We still enjoy a great relationship with our Farm Bureau and HCE here, but we're separate entities. We currently continue to rent space and offer programs in the Farm Bureau building. Our McLean County Board financial support began here in the mid-1960s, and it's continued ever since. Federal funding was stripped from county extension programs in the 1990s. With that came an ever-increasing challenge of funding our local presence with existing county partners along with state matching funds. Back in 2001, along with more than 80 other counties who had already done so across Illinois, we asked our citizens to create a specific levy in the county board budget to continue the successful extension program here in McLean County. In April 2001, McLean County citizens voted yes to that extension levy with a 62% majority. That levy allowed up to a nickel of funding. Since the levy was created, our needs have been met with about a penny and a half of that levy used. That reduced level of local taxes has worked since we have had matching dollars from the state of Illinois. In recent years, though, the state support has been more challenging. With the state match funds, nearly every local dollar granted to Extension is eligible for a state matching dollar. So as a result, we're bringing back about $500,000 into our county to help people solve problems. At present, our Extension education is done through four program areas. Let's take a look at a few examples of what those programs are. Agricultural and natural resources programming includes education for 1,500 farm operators and pesticide training programs for farmers as well as professionals in lawn care, landscapers, and the public. In addition, we serve the nearly 3,000 farmland owners in the county and network with agribusinesses to sustain our strong agricultural base. McLean County produces more corn than any other county in the nation, and it's the second place county in soybean production nationally. Besides farm-related education, we also teach thousands of residents annually through our Master Gardener and Horticulture programs. We offer workshops and solve problems with trees, lawns, and with insects for garden center and pest control businesses, as well as individuals. Our family, consumer, and nutrition programs have been a mainstay for years. From improved nutrition for all ages through USDA pyramid education and workshops related to food safety, we also have an initiative underway to serve limited resource audiences in the county. Our family-related programs continue to help with education in raising children, elder care, and balancing work and family obligations. Our consumer programming has increased to assist in debt management, retirement planning, and consumer credit through a coalition of consumer groups, banks, churches, and the Money Smart Week partners to assist with current financial challenges. Our youth programming remains a premier program. Community Club 4-H is the largest of its kind in Illinois. Nearly 1,200 4-Hers led by volunteers are conducting service learning, experiencing leadership activities, and learning valuable life skills. Our county fair with 11,000 entries annually is the largest 4-H county fair in the nation. Our 4-H programs include after-school locations with not only traditional locations, but we've also added a special program site in North Normal called the Unity Center, and the results of that initiative are recognized by the schools with making a difference in the lives of at-risk youth. Thousands of youth experience hands-on learning with our school enrichment programs, and our teachers are utilizing the training and kits we offer to enhance that learning opportunity. Check it out, a 3-week embryology study reaches nearly every third grade classroom in the county. Nearly 500 volunteers assist with our youth programs, and that includes volunteers in clubs, at the Unity Center, with the county fair, and with our 4-H alumni organization. Our community and economic development programs encompass general community building educational programs. We've brought expertise to small towns and groups in finding grants, community improvement, and strategic planning. Issue education is offered monthly by teleconference for township officials, county board members, and other elected officials. Our marquee program is our community partnership with the McLean County Community Compact, where for 15 years we've offered workforce preparation programs such as the 6th grade business partnership and job shadowing to schools in the county, improved business and school awareness with the Principal for a Day program, and offered leadership development to school-aged youth, and competition opportunities in the Worldwide Youth Science and Engineering, we also call it WISE competition, for county schools. In addition to local extension staff, our county has access to area educators for specific programs and topics such as these listed here, and they can bring University of Illinois campus expertise to our county residents. In most cases, the only cost for this expertise is in reimbursement for travel to our county. Why has extension been so successful? Most of us feel that extension is successful because it isn't a top-down approach to citizens. Citizens are involved in grassroots planning, and our program is guided by a 20-member volunteer group called the Extension Council. This council and its many subcommittees helps to lead local needs assessment, program planning, finding funding needed for the program, and evaluating the impact of the program. Local needs are used to guide research at the university level, and the research-based answers are returned to the citizens. As we mentioned earlier, Extension reached thousands through minimal local staff. Much of the education is done through local citizen volunteer involvement. In most years, over 12,000 hours are invested by nearly 1,200 citizens from groups like these listed here. Most local funding now comes from the County Extension Levy, approved back in 2001. However, you can see that we still receive grants from many local groups. Here are the percentages from the most recent fiscal year. Cost recovery fees are growing as more of our local programs now have a fee built into them for audiences. In addition, in 2009, our per-member 4-H fee was raised from $2 to $10 per member to ease the tax burdens. We've spent a lot of time on these many facts and figures, so let's just take a look at some of those same pictures you saw earlier as a sample of our extension programs in action this past year. Thank you. you haven't been to our website, please check it out. We're currently serving people through that site as well, as we have nearly 50,000 documented hits each month. Here's our contact information and location. We hope you can help us continue to share the secret about how Extension assists the citizens of McLean County. Above all, thank you for your interest and support. After all, Extension belongs to you, too.
With that, we thank you for the opportunity. We'd be happy to answer any questions. I do want to introduce a few of my coworkers who came this morning as well. Emily Fries, if you'd stand. Emily works in the Community Economic Development Area. Sandy McGee works in the 4-H Youth Development Area with our youth program. And Sharon Becker is involved with the Ag and Natural Resources, specifically with the Horticulture and Master Gardeners. Just a sample of the staff members at our office. The rest of them are doing programs probably today as well. So, if there's any questions, Chairman Sorensen, I'd be happy to entertain them, but I've taken plenty of your time, and we appreciate this opportunity.
Member Knuckles.
Yeah, I'd like to just take this opportunity to thank Don Meyer, the Extension Council, and the entire staff. They continue to do an outstanding performance in offering some excellent programs to McLean County. From my experience, they make something look that is very complex, very easy. And I just want to thank you personally and continue the outstanding performance.
We will share your thanks. Thank you very much. It's a great team effort, and the volunteers are the backbone of the program. Yes.
Right. Well said, Bob. Bill?
I've been a lifelong gardener, but I go to gardening school every year, and I've been this spring already, and I've learned from the speaker here earlier that there are more than 300 varieties of tomatoes that you can grow. So.
All of them. Member Cavallini.
I'd like to take this opportunity to put in a little bit of a plug for the 11th Annual Leadership Conference, which the Extension sponsors and hosts in Champaign-Urbana. Last year we had a panel, and a number of people from our county served on that panel. This year we're also going to have another panel on sustainable energy, and we'll have a number of individuals from McLean County on that panel as well. So I encourage everybody to take a look at that leadership conference. Registration is going on right now.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? I heard Mr. Meyer, thank you to you, your staff, and your volunteers for great work you do.
It's a great partnership with all of us together. Thank you.
Thank you for the update. Next up, Mr. Greg Coos, Director of the McLean County Museum of History.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to introduce my colleague, Candace Summers, who's our Director of Education, and she'll be making a presentation a little later. I placed our version of PowerPoint on your desk. There's three pages here that I will be referring to in my remarks. But before I get too far, I would like to, on behalf of the McLean County Museum of History, thank the county board, specifically Diane Bostic and the property committee, and specifically Jack Moody, for the wonderful relationship that we've had over many years. The Museum of History has been part of county for a very, very long time, delving back into our records. We were founded in 1892, and our first partnership activity with the county took place in 1898 when the county and the museum worked together to publish a book called The War Record of McLean County, which was a book about McLean County and the Civil War. And we've been gratefully your tenants since 1904. And so it's been a long and, I think, fruitful relationship. If you would look at the first page, I'm going to start off with the simple fact of what is happening to almost any not-for-profit today, and that is that we are economically challenged, and we're challenged primarily by income. Because of a significant decline in the museum's endowment, it went from $5 million to $3.6 million in a year, we have found ourselves the necessity of making significant cutbacks and trying to work out how it is that we can continue to maintain what it is that we do. Essentially our income projection is down about $100,000, which is a significant chunk of money for us. in terms of trying to control our expenses. We now have a hiring freeze in place, and we have cut our department budgets, which has allowed us essentially to take a certain amount of money out of our budget, about $21,000. So what we're looking at this particular year is that the museum has, the first time in my 32 years of working for the Museum of History, has a deficit budget. This is the first time we've ever done this. And what we're going to do to fund that budget is to utilize an estate bequest that is coming into us this year. Typically, estate bequests go into endowment. This year, we're going to use it to keep ourselves afloat. And then secondly, if we need to do an additional endowment draw, we will do so. The museum board has given us essentially about a year to see if the economy shakes out. If not, then the museum will be making more serious decisions in our upcoming fiscal year. Our fiscal year runs April 1 to March 31, so we have about a year now to look at it. The participation of the county does not show up in terms of rent, utilities, custodial, and maintenance. And that is the value that you're delivering to us is about $188,000. And again, this does not include the significant kinds of capital expenditures the county has been making on that wonderful old courthouse building. For instance, a boiler project that Jack Moody and Tom Hawk are working on as we speak. The museum uses its resources to serve the people of McLean County. And essentially, we're serving about 30,000 people a year in a very direct, time-intensive manner. We have determined that quality of information and quality of education is the highest value of our organization as we share the important story of who we are in McLean County and how we created this community. The adults we serve run from people involved in very in-depth training in our volunteer program. We have 150 volunteers who donate 15,000 hours of service to us annually. Adults that we serve include people who simply come in and want to learn the story of McLean County, people who are studying their family tree, people who are learning about their historic house, people who have historic questions. It's a wide, wide variety of people. For instance, this year we partnered with the McLean County Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission and have brought in the top Lincoln scholars in the United States to speak to what has really been a decent audience, 70 to 100 people a night coming out to hear people like Richard Carradine from Oxford University in England. The museum also serves children. And those are some of our most time-intensive program. A kid who comes to a program at the museum is spending about an hour and a half in a small group activity where they're learning in a very structured manner the story of McLean County. And that story, the way we interpret it and the way we present it, helps the teachers meet the state learning objectives. So it's a very useful program, not only from a viewpoint of the classroom teacher, but also from the viewpoint of engendering pride in community in those future citizens. We serve children at the museum, and we serve children off-site. We know that many school districts are likewise economically challenged, and we take programs into the classroom so that we can get a much broader service group. Essentially, about 6,000 kids a year are getting our programs directly in the classroom. To support this activity of the interpretation of local history requires things, artifacts, if you will. It requires the maintenance of a historic library, and it requires the maintenance of an archival collection. These collections are integral to what a museum is. We are the attic of McLean County, but a very, very well-organized attic and a very clean attic. 18,000 documented objects are found in our collection. That is, we know where they're from, we know who used them, we know an awful lot about them, we know about the families that used these things, and those artifacts serve as the pool of materials that are used for the development of exhibitions. And this year, we've had four exhibits. Two of these are longer term. Come and get it. The Way We Ate in McLean County just opened. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see that, but we've created four historic kitchens, 1840s, 1880s, 1920s, and this is the real historic one, the 1970s kitchen, complete with a macrame owl. You know, so it's quite a treat to see. But these are interpreted in how these artifacts of life, if you will, tell us so much about the background of the people of McLean County. The exhibit, A Turbulent Time, Central Illinois and the Vietnam Experience, was an exhibit where the museum worked with pro-war, pro-Vietnam War veterans, anti-war, anti-Vietnam War veterans, pro-war community activists, anti-war community activists, and we all sat down around a table and decided that we could agree to disagree, but we also would agree that all voices that were active during that time of our history would be heard and would be seen in an exhibit. And we worked about 3 years on that and came up with what we feel is a impartial and fair representation of a turbulent time in the life of the people of McLean County. And it was a process that created healing. It was a process and an exhibit that creates great knowledge. There's many high schools who are using that exhibit because it's the high school history teachers are telling us that it's a type of history that kids can go see, they can learn about it, and then they can go talk to their parents and find out that history happens to regular people. And that's a very, very important piece. I would like to then take you to the couple of charts that are on the next two pages, simple pie charts. The first one I'd like you to look at is museum income. Where does our money come from? And essentially 30%, 29% comes from endowment. That is how we invest that money and then use it. 46%, nearly half of our money, comes from families of McLean County and businesses who want to support the Museum of History. We earn about 15% of our income through a variety of projects, which includes rental properties, the publication of books, videos, CDs, and gift shop sales. And then the county tax levy, which has been provided to us, provides about 10% of our operating budget. In terms of costs, essentially, as any other organization, quality people is where you put your money, and that's where you get, you know, your best success. And so 69% of our expense is personnel, 20% is program material costs, 55% is administrative and fundraising costs, and our earned income is about 3%. That is, it costs us about 3% to earn that 10%. But to give you a sense, just one sense, of the variety of programs that the museum operates, because it operates a very wide variety of programs, and we deliver information and we collect information on people of McLean County in a number of different ways. And I've asked Candace Summers to present to you about our Senior Reminiscence Program, which is presented in assisted living facilities and nursing homes throughout McLean County. And recently, a gentleman who is a high expert in Alzheimer's had an opportunity to observe one of our programs. And he wrote to us for over an hour. He was observing our program. For over an hour, 20 residents whose typical passage through the day occurs in an environment essentially bereft of the slightest residue of the historical and cultural world wherein their lives assumed so much of their meaningful forms, they were offered imaginative avenues into a past that continues to live in and through them. The life world out of which shape and spirit of their child and adult identities emerged, reemerged, and however attenuated and fleeting, and in that collectively reimagined presence, the cognitively impaired were emotionally restored. This is not a cure, but it is a healing, and one worthy of our investment. Moreover, it is one that museums of history are well situated to lead. And I thought I would have Candace present a piece of that program.
Thank you very much for allowing me to come and share one of my favorite programs that we do here at the museum. And I think it's one of the best programs that we do because we reach out to a very underserved group. Not a lot of groups do what we do that'll go to senior centers and nursing homes throughout the county. We go all the way to Shenoah and Lexington and Colfax with our program. Even outside the county, we have senior centers contact us for programs. And my particular favorite one is our photo reminiscence program. And I don't know if everybody can see in the back, but these are...
I'll do the
bottom. Okay. These are giant historical photos that we found in our archives, and we blow them up to this big poster size. So as I walk around, or our other educator, Rachel Massa, walks around the room, they can get a good view of the detail and hopefully trigger a memory. I mean, any memory. You're looking at a photo here of the old bike candy factory. Who here's had a bike bar? Come on now. A Whiz Bar. Everybody remember the Whiz Bar? That's right. Well, that's a picture of them making the Whiz Bar right now. And so I'll bring a photo up, and we'll start walking around, and I go, you know, who can tell me where this is? And just about everybody can say, that's the Whiz Bar. They're making the Whiz Bar, and they'll talk about the price of it and what they're doing. This here, I don't know if anybody can kind of guess what they're doing there. Yes, it's a corn shucking competition. That's right. Excellent. And I do. I have people checking out the photos to see if they are there, if they're there. And I have been surprised. I've had photos, and somebody said, that's me. And they'll tell me all about, you know, what they're doing, you know, what the day was like and everything else. And it's just a flow of memories. And they start talking to each other and interacting socially. It gets their cognitive functions going again. And the nicest compliment I ever had from one of the residents, I believe it was over at Martin Health over at Westminster, she came up to me after the program and she said, honey, you bring us back to reality for just a little bit. And I mean, I almost started to cry because I realized then how important this program is and how, you know, getting people out and socializing and, you know, helping them remember what their lives were like before, because some of these people don't have a lot of family, and they don't get out of the museum much, out of the building much. And last year in 2008, we did 41 senior reminiscence programs. That's huge for us. When I first started at the museum in 2005, we were going maybe once every couple months. There's senior centers we go to every month. Every month they're calling us, all right, what's next? And we have about 150 of these photos, and I'm always adding more. And I always ask the folks at these places, give me ideas. Tell me if there's a photo you want to see or a program you want to see us do. And we take the feedback very seriously and create programs based on the needs of the residents of these places. We just started doing a program called Tools of the Trade, which is all about work. So any kind of work from carpentry, farming, housework, anything. Because we realized, you know, our programs kind of were heavy on objects that women were associating with, because there's a lot more women than men in senior centers. So we needed to find something to get the men talking, because they were just sitting there and not talking very much. And so we add programs. We add more programs. We're in the process of developing a kitchen tools program in relationship to our new exhibit. And I've had people calling me wanting it already. And I'm like, it's not done. It's not done. Just wait a little bit. Or we're looking at working on a toy program too, because it just, I mean, they'll start singing songs from the schoolyard when they used to play at recess. And I mean, just, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way that we can, you know, give back to the community. And these are all free programs. We don't charge one dime to go to the senior centers and nursing homes. And they can even come to us and tour the museum. Occasionally, we do have groups that come to us and see the exhibits. And it's kind of like, as we take them through the exhibits, they reminisce with each other too. They'll point out objects, or they'll, you know, see a photo and start just talking about it. And the really great thing I hear from activity directors at these places is that weeks down the line, all of a sudden, for no reason, they'll just start talking about the things they saw at our program and, you know, just start remembering and discussing again. And every time we come there, we usually have a really good crowd of 10 to 30 people, depending on the size of the facility, who come to see our program. So it's really, really one of our best programs. And I'm pretty sure not many people do anything like this, based on the feedback from Michael Verde, who wrote us that wonderful letter about our program. So does anybody have any questions? I have a couple more photos if you want to see them. Yes, ma'am.
Who produces your photos, and what are the costs?
I scan the photos, and then Rachel and I also pick them out of our archives. And we have, who does our exhibits? Prints the panels?
The GW.
GDS graphics over on Bloomington, over in the west side of Bloomington. And they print these for us, and it costs about $20 to $25 a photo. So I usually print about 30 at a time, and that usually runs me, you know, a couple hundred dollars, $400 or $500 to print up these. But they're durable. They're thick because we pass them around to the residents. They slide them on the tables. They get them up real good and close so they can get a good view of what's in the photo. So these are going to last us a long time, and they're such a great resource. I'm running out of room for them. I have so many. Well, thank you very much for letting me come out and share one of our wonderful programs with you. Oh, yes.
I have a question. How are you going to make up the deficit?
We will this year fund the deficit through an estate bequest that we have received, and if necessary, an additional endowment drawdown. We are also working very hard to raise new dollars. We're in a tight and competitive environment for fundraising. We have a good loyal base of supporters. Many of those who are members at our highest level, what we call the Lincoln Club, we've asked them to double their gift, and a number of them are doing so. So some people with means are digging a little extra deeper into their pockets. But we're only going to do this for 1 year, that is to run a budget of this type for 1 year. Yes.
It's really then 12%.
12, yes, net, yes. Yes, sir.
I wondered if you could give the hours and the days that you're open.
Sure.
And then does the Saturday market affect the your visitation or your numbers? Does it detract or add to it?
Okay. First, our general hours are 10 to 5. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 10 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, which is our free day. Now, during farmers market, because the museum is pretty well blocked with wonderful vegetables and flowers, the museum opens for free on farmer market Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon. And so we charge no admission at that point in time, and we essentially run it as a loss leader. That is that many people coming to the market would otherwise not have discovered the museum, and so it gives us an opportunity to share what we have, and we know that people do indeed come back. The museum also has specific programs that it offers in conjunction with Farmers Market. We have educational programs that are food-related that we run during that period of time. We have a kind of a fun antique guessing game that we run on occasion. And then I also do walking tours during Farmers Market, not every Saturday. I think I'm going to do it 3 times this year, of Abraham Lincoln in downtown Bloomington, where you can walk with me, and I'll show you where Lincoln was and what he did and what he was saying, a little bit about what he was thinking about, about a 45-minute walk around the downtown area. We have a lot of Lincoln sites downtown. Yes, Betty.
I'd just like to comment to the board that you are the storyteller of storytellers, and I highly recommend anyone who gets the opportunity to go on the walk, please do so. It's fabulous. There's no one that could do a better job. And thank you, thank you, thank you. I would love to be inside your brain. It's like a walking library.
Well, thank you, Betty. Any other questions?
Any other questions for Mr. Coos?
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you for the update. All right, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from consent? Member Bostic.
I would like to see item 6C come off and be discussed under land use, please.
C1C, which is ZA-0902 zoning case?
Yes, please.
Removed from consent will come up under land use. Anything else to be removed from consent?
C1C.
We just did it. Thank you. Thank you. Motion Sego Biano to approve consent as amended. Second, Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Review. Standing committees, Executive Committee, Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unless there is any questions on A1B, then we would need to go to executive session. If not, we can go ahead and I will move to that item unless there's any questions.
Are you moving B with the understanding that if there's active discussion,
yes,
we'll go into executive
I will
session.
Go ahead and do that. I'll move item A1B, which is a request approval of the employment contract between the county and Mr. Walter F. Lindbergh.
We have a motion, Owens, second, Segoviano. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. While I think we all agree that May 22nd will be a sad day for McLean County as Mr. Zunick retires, this agreement being in place will make it a little bit brighter.
Yes.
So, appreciate it. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, and congratulations, Mr. Lindbergh.
Yes, thank you. There is no other items for action. There is various minutes from the various committees. I will just point out that the Rules Committee Subcommittee did meet, and we will be hosting a parliamentary procedure later on next few months for any board member to attend. Just there will be a rundown synopsis of the most commonly used procedures so board members are aware of how they can be able to have parliamentary questions if they arise on the board.
Thank you. Any questions of Vice Chairman Owens of the Executive Committee and Chairman of the Rules Committee? This is the Rules Committee version of taking me behind the woodshed, isn't it? This update on parliamentary procedures. That's
yes.
All right. That's fine.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
You are accountable to all of us.
I understand. Transportation Committee, Vice Chairman Cavallini.
Yes, I have a report that I want to present, but I want to call to everyone's attention first that unlike my colleague Stan, I have remembered to turn on the microphone. Our general report is found on page 69 to 77. We do have an item here that I want to present. This was given to me by Eric Schmidt. The copy of the East Side Highway Corridor final report was placed in all of the county board members' mailboxes in the administrator's office for review following the Transportation Committee meeting. The committee plans on having a public hearing to review the report before it comes to board for approval in June or July. And then, as I indicated, the general report is found on 69 through 77. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Vice Chairman Cavallini of the Transportation Committee? None heard. Finance Committee, Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. C1A is a request approval to amend the current intergovernmental agreement with Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, and DeWitt counties to incorporate a name change from Showbus to Showbus Public Transportation, NFP, brought to us through Building and Zoning. I so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second, Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. C1B is a request approval of resolution of the McLean County Board setting forth specific recommendations from the fiscal year 2009 general fund annual appropriations and budget ordinance brought to us through the county administrator's office, and I so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second. Segoviano, questions, comments, or discussion?
If I may just make a comment, please. Again, I want to thank the administrator's office for bringing this forth. And my report from the administrator's office is that the department heads that have been contacted to look at their budgets have been very cooperative. And we will bring forth recommendations next month. And again, that will be Mr. Zunick's last finance committee meeting. And we look forward to the recommendations that he will bring forth. So again, we want to thank him as he's continued to keep an eye on our budget to make sure that we tighten down.
Very good. We have a motion on the floor, C1B, Owen Segoviano. Any other questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. The next two items, if there's any, I'll go ahead and we'll move them separately, but if there is any discussion, we will need to go into executive session. With that, C1D is a request approval of resolution of the McLean County Board authorizing the state's attorney to offer a salary above the starting maximum salary, and I would so move.
We have a motion, Owen, second, Kaysley. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. For the record, executive session, which is item C1C, is not needed.
Exactly. Item C1E is a request approval resolution of the McLean County Board authorizing the state's attorney to offer an equity adjustment to the salary of the first criminal assistant state's attorney, and I would so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second. Knuckles, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. Our general report can be found on pages 90 through 102.
Are there any questions of Chairman Owens of the Finance Committee? Justice Committee, Chairman Renner.
The Justice Committee brings several items for action. Actually, all of our items, D1, A, B, and C, all involve the redeploy grant program, but I'm going to go ahead and move D1A separately because I think we have at least two board members that want to abstain on that. So I'm going to move item D1A, request approval of an agreement between McLean County and the Board of Trustees of Illinois State University for the redeploy Illinois program in court services, and I move that.
Motion Renner, second Rakowskis. Questions, comments, or discussion?
Please note me as not voting on this one.
Recorded. Recorded. Member Rankin, Member Knuckles not voting. Any other discussions on D1A? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And I'd like to move items D1B and C together. Request approval of a subcontract agreement between McLean County Chestnut Health Systems, the City of Bloomington, and the State of Illinois for services related to the Redeploy Illinois program. And again, D1C is request approval of an agreement between McLean County and the Catholic Charities of Diocese of Peoria for the Redeploy Illinois program and court services. And I move those as a group.
Thank you. Motion Renner, second Rakowskis. Questions, comments, or discussion? Member Moss. Please note, just from B, you can just pick B. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And our general report is found on pages 116 to 127.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Renner of the Justice Committee? None heard. Land Use and Development Committee, Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have now two items for action, the second one having been pulled from the consent agenda. Item E1A is request approval of a resolution of the McLean County Solid Waste Management Technical Committee for the following grants. First, $20,000 for electronics recycling. Secondly, $5,000 for partial funding of a feasibility study of the Underwood House, which will be the future home of the Ecology Action Center. And third, $500 for a community recycling assessment. And I move that resolution.
Motion Gordon, second Ahart. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our second item, found on the second page of our packet, item 6C1C, request approval to deny the application in case ZA-09-02. For a map amendment to change the zoning classification from A, Agriculture District, to M1, Restricted Manufacturing District, on property which is located in Mount Hope Township at 2241 North 200 East Road in McLean, Illinois, found in our packets on pages 22 to 24. That found there are the findings of fact and recommendation of the McLean County Zoning Board of Appeals following a hearing on this matter on April 7th. And I will move that recommendation of the ZBA.
Motion Gordon, second. Ahart, questions, comments, discussion? Member Bostic.
I ask that be pulled off the agenda. There were some questions that arose right prior to our county meeting, so there was not a timeliness to do much asking or that. As a substitute motion, I would ask that we be each county board member be provided with a digital recording of the ZBA's hearing, and we take some time and listen to that and come back next month with some of our questions and perhaps either be ready to vote on it or send it back to ZBA.
So just a point of clarification, you're asking to postpone this vote on Chairman Gordon's motion for 1 month?
Yes.
To come back to the full board?
If we can get the digital recording rather promptly. Right.
For the purpose of members to review the case file.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so this is actually a tabling motion to a date certain?
Not exactly. It's a little more powerful than that. I mean,
all right.
It's also a simple majority vote now.
All right. So we've got a motion, Bostic, second, Renner, to
postpone
yep. For a month for the purpose of members to review the case file. Questions, comments, or discussion now on the postponing motion? Member Sigmiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would, hardly agree with Member Bostic. I took the privilege of talking to our county administrator, and I really got a thorough explanation in regards to the action of the zoning board and this entire proceedings. And I think it would behoove all the members to really listen to that and get a clear understanding of actually what took place in regards to this case.
Thank you. Chairman Gordon.
Withdraw. I'll pass.
Member Knuckles.
I'd just like to concur. And I support this motion because it allows us an opportunity to review this appropriately.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Walrab.
I am just curious why there's not a LISA assessment on the soils included in this particular case.
That would be an appropriate question for Mr. Dick, and it probably is appropriate for this discussion. So the question is, Phil, I don't know if you heard it, was why there was no LISA score in the findings of fact for this case.
A LISA, or land evaluation and site assessment, is required when land is being taken out of crop production. This property was set aside as a non-farm residential lot.
It was previously not in production.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Other questions, comments, or discussion on the motion to postpone?
Just point of information. This will be brought. Do we have a time to bring this back next month?
Meg, County Board meeting. Thank you. Right. I will ask, I think I'll remind the members, and I think it's appropriate that I would do so, that this is a zoning case that did go through the public hearing process, which means that we are bound by the rules as quasi-judicial board, which means inappropriate conversation outside of the constructs of the public hearing process is absolutely inappropriate. And if you have questions about the rules that govern ex parte communication, I would encourage you to visit with Mr. Eric Rude prior to doing anything that you shouldn't. However, reviewing the case file, reviewing the hearing records, reviewing the tapes is absolutely our job and appropriate. Other questions, comments, or discussion on the motion to postpone? None heard. All those in favor of the motion to postpone, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Be postponed and brought back to the May meeting of the McLean County Board. Member Casely.
It appears to me that the subject matter of this application would be better suited to a permitted use, a special permitted use application. And I'm wondering if we have cut that off by the text of our zoning ordinance, and perhaps the Land Use and Development Committee should take a look at this, because there are probably a lot of people out there who
in the county who have small businesses that they run and may not be grandfathered in and may not have gone through the application process. And I think that we need to be aware that entrepreneurs who start a small business and then begin employing people, they are the backbone of our economy, and that's where jobs are coming from. And I think that we need a zoning ordinance that with permitted uses that can accommodate those types of uses.
Thank you, Member Casely. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. It correct me if I'm wrong, but it does appear to be, first of all, that there may be some merit in what Member Casely has proposed. It does seem to me, and this is where I will ask for correction if I'm not correct, that whatever may be done on that score down the line will not have applicability to this particular case, which is a sad reality from the standpoint of the applicant for Mr. Madsen. However, that doesn't mean that we couldn't think about it. It might come to the Land Use Committee maybe in short order. This would be seeking a text amendment to the zoning ordinance. We will have to take that under consideration, and I will be in consultation with Mr. Dick and with Mr. Zunick's office about that, so that that suggestion can move forward. But I do want to make it clear that will not, unfortunately or fortunately, have any effect on this proposal that we have postponed to next month.
I think, fortunately or unfortunately, that's the rules of the game that we're in. I mean, you can't change the rules in the middle of a match. So, other questions, comments, or discussion? All right, we've. Any other questions, comments, or discussion for Chairman Gordon of the Land Use and Development Committee?
I just wanted to note that our general report can be found on pages 130 through 141.
Thank you very much. Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
We have no items to bring before the board this morning. However, our general report, we have no general report. We're just done for the day. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other business or communication to come before the McLean County Board? We have bills to pay. I'm sorry. You don't have any. I don't have a copy of the bills either. Oh, I do. I'm sorry. We have bills to pay totaling $6,250,677.60. Is there a motion to approve? Motion Cavallini, second Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. We are adjourned until May 19th, 2009, 9 o'clock.